We got a lot of reaction from many of you out there this week when we noted this moment in President Trump's speech before Congress.
Ryan was a part of a highly successful raid that generated large amounts of vital intelligence that will lead to many more victories in the future against our enemy. Ryan's legacy is etched into eternity. Thank you.
Many of you suggested this was exploitive, over the top. And in fact, we've made a ritual of sentimentalizing the people who fight our wars in presidential speeches and football games. Seeing the reality of that sacrifice is not ready for prime time, perhaps, but it's there.
I pray late at night when, like, nobody's around, thanking God that I'm still alive and for the life he's given me. It's just the way I see it. Could be going through life bitter as hell, but where would that get me, right?
Sergeant Nick Mendez, who's paralyzed from the neck down from an IED injury in Afghanistan. And his story is part of the reality of veterans facing permanent injury whose lives must go on. And while they are helped by services at the Veterans Administration, it is the work of volunteers who largely make an independent life possible for Nick. It's the amazing story told in the new documentary American Veteran from director Julie Cohen, a story of life near death and love. We meet Wendy, the medical caregiver who became Nick's wife. But the story begins with Nick opening his eyes after his injury and trying and failing to talk.
He couldn't speak because there were stuff in his mouth. He couldn't breathe on his own. He couldn't eat. He was being fed completely intravenously. And over the course of a little more than 6 months in the hospital, he made a fair amount of progress in being able to eat, being able to speak, being able to breathe on his own, having a trach tube taken out, all kinds of things that were pretty monumental progress.
Transitioning to a very high-tech wheelchair?
Transitioning to a mouth-operated, basically sip-and-puff technology, as it's called, has been real lifesaver for Nick in allowing him to do all kinds of stuff. And over the course of the time that we were filming with him, that kind of expanded, and what we show, it expands. He operates his wheelchair by sucking in and blowing out of a straw. He can also play the first-person shooter video games that he loved to play before his injury. Does that with his mouth, with just a little situation he rigged together using a Sony PlayStation console and stylus. And by the end of the film, we actually went with him on a fishing trip where he was using a sip-and-puff fishing pole to go fishing. So there's if you're motivated and smart and ready to go with some of the innovations that are around, there's actually a lot that Nick's able to do.
This is a love story, though. And a lot of people asked him, as you would expect, do you think, why me?
The psychologist came up and asked me, like, a lot of people in your situation ask, why me? Like, why did I get blown up? Why did this happen to me? Does God hate me and all that? I know why this happened to me. I had a really dangerous job.
He turns on that attitude, and suddenly there's a love story.
Yes. So when Nick was in the VA hospital in Long Beach, a woman came in to sort of audition for the job of being his caregiver nurse after he was released from the hospital to go home. Her name was Wendy. Turned out her agency wouldn't cover insurance for vets, so she couldn't be his nurse. But she decided to go back and visit him again. She had really been charmed by him, which was kind of amazing because actually her whole job is doing care for quadriplegics and paraplegics. So you would think, like, you know, sort of busman's holiday. Do you really want to go back and visit a vet? But she really not liked Nick and went and sort of started hanging out with him. And her description of him was just, you know, I've never met anyone who's so much fun to be with. Like, it's impossible not to be smiling and laughing when you're with them, because that's just this guy's personality.
A lot of people, when they're that severely injured, it takes a toll on them, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally. From the first time I met him, he was always in good spirits. If you didn't see the halo on him, you know, the back brace, you wouldn't know that he was injured at all.
That's what attracted her to him. You know, his attitude when he starts to feel something's going on is like, you know, I think she's really hot, but like, I just got blown up. I've sort of got some other stuff on my mind. But she kind of hung around and feelings developed and they fell in love. It was actually about a year after he got out of the hospital that the two of them decided to move in together, and that worked out. And ultimately, they got married.
Did you buy her feelings of love?
At first, I had the attitude that, frankly, Nick said he had. Like, what kind of girl wants to get with a quadriplegic? Because there's a lot she needs to do with him. If his nose itches, Wendy's got to scratch it for him, you know, literally. They have a situation that makes honesty and direct communication absolutely necessary. How much I saw that she does get from his joy when, you know, when something great happens for him, like how good she feels about it and how much of their life together is like a truly shared entity, you know, certainly made me think a lot about my own marriage and marriage in general.
How amazed were you by the efforts taken by the veterans community itself to heal and take care of its own in this country where supposedly there are all kinds of benefits for people who serve their country?
First of all, there's just sort of this ad hoc day-to-day. There are a number of other vets and disabled vets that live in the same community as Nick does, including his very close friend, John Schumacher, who's a triple amputee Marine, also blown up in Afghanistan. There are organizations of vets doing a lot for each other. There are two that are in our film. One was something called the Foundation for Exceptional Warriors, which is run by vets themselves, almost all volunteers, that just have, on top of their day jobs, work out doing kind of outward bound type adventure trips for vets.
What do you think Americans need to learn generally about the consequences of war from this film?
Dismissing and forgetting is kind of not the right thing to do. It's not that most Americans are unaware that a number of U.S. soldiers have been severely injured, or for that matter, that there are families who are grieving the death of children or spouses, or in cases where the injuries aren't visible, that people are dealing with PTSD or very serious mental health struggles following war. It's not that people don't know that's true. It's just that we, like, manage to look away from it too much.
Julie Cohen, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.